Invited the Englishman indeed. This is a Varying Degrees BDSM podcast episode what, Burns?
Five.
Indeed, episode five. I'm joined once again by my co-host Burns and Eeyore.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back, Eeyore. It's awesome to have you. I say coming back, we see you all the time and you live with Burns.
Well, yeah, but thanks for having me on the show.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, we're going to talk about toys today.
Yeah, we thought it was a good one because we're coming off the back of Christmas, kind of. It's the end of Jan when we're recording this and end of Feb, beginning of March by the time we edit and put it out knowing our schedule. Yeah, so toys, because we're coming off the back of Christmas. So I'm holding one toy now, but we're going to that a bit later. People can guess what that is. I probably think I'm holding a huge dildo or something. It's been the first time you came round.
Chased out the house with a double-ended dildo. What must the neighbours have thought? I really don't know.
And we're currently actually recording this sitting on my bed, so I managed to chase him out of the house with a double-ended dildo and he still came back round and is on my bed, so...
It's no accounting for taste, eh?
Right, yours or mine, Ivers. We've got a discussion to have about toys today, because you've been playing with some new toys, haven't you guys?
Yeah, we have quite an exciting new toy. So our recent purchase was some fire ones, so yeah, it's quite an exciting one.
And what are fire ones for the less fire-educated
like
myself?
Oh gosh, how do I explain a fire wand? So it's essentially a handle with a metal rod with some cotton wadding attached to it that you can load up with fuel and light on fire. But yeah, that makes it sound like they look really unsophisticated and ugly, but they can be quite stylish.
It's quite a nice wee piece, actually, you know.
Are you getting to grips with them?
It's taken us a wee while, but, you know, we're starting to get used to it, you know. Takes you a little bit of practice and getting used to how long they burn for and all that kind of thing, you know.
I've just realised we may have actually bitten off a lot more than we can chew with this topic, because we've like, yeah, we'll do toys because we're coming off the back of Christmas. But like, when you say toys, what are we saying? We're saying like dildos, vibrators, are we saying male masturbators? We're electro toys like I'm holding at the moment, for those who can't see, I've got one of those violet wand style ones.
Well,
in my hands. You know, but you know, the list goes on. Whips, canes, what are we calling a toy and what are we not calling
a
toy?
Shall we go for anything that people can use in their kinky play? Would that work?
Okay, so that's what we're going to define toy as for the sake of this.
Bear in mind as well, this discussion doesn't have to be, and certainly isn't intended as, this is the be-all and end-all. It's not the encyclopedia of toys, you know. We're just having a wee discussion about ones we might have got recently, ones we might be looking to get, where people might get them. Maybe we could even potentially discuss pervertibles.
What are pervertibles?
So... a pervertible would be something like you're in, say, B&Q, right? And you see something, and it's not intended as kinky, If you use it for what it's meant to be used for, but you can use it for kinky stuff. Generally, a wee bit cheaper than buying the kinky stuff directly, you know.
Bed knobs for anal beads.
Something like that. Well, bed knobs and broomsticks.
That's the one.
Caught me off guard there, but... So what you can do is get some of these things. I've seen something be used at a play event once, and I spoke to someone after, and I said it looked like a giant pinwheel, you know. And I said, oh, what was that giant pinwheel you were using earlier? And he said, it was actually something I got at B&Q, and it was like an attachment for a strimmer or something like that. It's something odd like that, but it shows you we're a wee bit of playing around with something, some ingenuity. The amount of stuff you can get is amazing, you know, just a little bit of creativity goes a long way.
Well, that's the thing, with a bit of creativity, anything can become a toy.
It can. I've got a lot of my stuff from hardware stores. Obviously chain, you don't buy that from a kink specialist usually, but I bought all my chain from a hardware store. My large bamboo poles, which are treated for rope, which don't get used nearly often enough, they came from a hardware store. So you can get a lot of stuff from hardware stores and other places. But yeah, like toys that are for the sake, you know, that are purpose built as being toys. Do you say you guys own a lot? What would you say? Do you know, drawers full of dildos, or
we've got a cupboard.
Well, I have a bit of a problem in that I have a bit of a collector's spirit. And at the moment, that is showing itself with toys. So yeah, we have a kink cupboard, which is a wardrobe essentially full of various goodies.
I did see some of picture or something, or we were talking about some of the like remote controlled vibe style toys. Have you made a recent
couple actually?
Yeah,
app controlled.
Any good? I mean, would you recommend app controlled toys?
Well, here's probably the interesting thing is that we tried a remote control toy quite a while back, and it didn't really, you know, I think like that model of toy. I mean, it wasn't the cheapest of toys, but it wasn't the most expensive either. It's just kind of like a bog standard toy with a manual remote. And to be honest, it didn't, you know, it didn't really inspire much. But we got some more premium remote control toys recently, and that's been really fun. So I think for me, the app element of it and the increased options has actually worked really well. So it's maybe an interesting question of not all toys are going to work in the same way, even if they seem to look similar on the surface.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, because my Belle's got some of the remote control and app control toys, and they're really good ones, but they're also for more expensive, popular brands. And I think you can get deals and cheaper toys of certain types of toys, but I think when it comes to anything that is vibrator-like or dildo-like or insertable, like vibrating love eggs or remote controlled or anything like that at all, I think you definitely get what you pay for. And I've bought cheaper wands in the past, I've bought cheaper, you know, vibrators in the past, and like insertable, like remote control toys. And you really get what you pay for when you buy the cheaper stuff with that.
Okay, so one of my favourite toys is an Enjoy Pure Wand. So our listeners kind of might be familiar with that. It's quite a famous toy. It's however many pounds of solid steel, very curved shape to hit G-spot, P-spot. You can buy a knockoff one of those on eBay. Well, for a fraction of the cost of, of the actual Enjoy wand, but the experience you're going to get is just nowhere near the actual Enjoy experience, because you're going to get something that looks very much. You're going to get the look. You're going to get the fact it's metal and that, but you're not going to get the weight, and that particular toy. The unique selling point of that toy is its pure steel, and that weight of the toy that really gives it its
clout.
Yeah, and its fame and clout. It's fame, yeah. Clout is a
So would you say that if you bought a lesser toy that you wouldn't enjoy it?
I think you could say that.
Oh dear, the puns have started again already. Oh God help us.
Well, I kind of have to. Other people will think it's not me, you know.
No, it's a good point at this point, Burns. You do have to let them know you're in the room.
Well, maybe as we've given a bit of an example of where, you know, it's worth paying the money. So kind of things like, you know, those remote toys. I mean, we personally have found quite a difference in experience with the different, well, kind of like a premium brand versus just, I guess, a bog standard brand. And something like the Enjoy, where the item might look the same, but the premium brand, you're really getting a totally different beast of an experience. Anybody have a toy that kind of budget quality toy that kind of really does the job of something higher end?
I think certainly with some impact stuff, and I know I was talking about pervertibles, and I know there's the standard joke of anything's a dildo if you're brave enough. But that aside, I remember, I think I bought a like wooden spatula. I think I'd got it with like Lakeland Plastics or something. And just using that for spanking, you know. And the great joy of stuff like that is that anyone seeing you buying it, you can buy it in public, carry it home, not even wrapped, right? And unless you're walking along spanking someone with it, no one's any the wiser. And that's the great joy of pervertibles, that you're buying this stuff, you've got plausible deniability. There's no way that anyone would look at it and go, pervert. You'd look at it and go, oh, that guy's going home and making a cake. What a guy.
I bought a cuff collar and sort of like strap, like harness, so you can attach like the cuffs. Like basically it runs from the collar down, so you can attach the cuffs to the collar. And that was like dirt cheap, and the quality of that surprised me for how much it was, because cuffs, half decent cuffs and collars tend to be expensive. But it's a quite decent play collar and like cuff set, and that was really, really cheap. And that was from, I think that was from like a punt on Amazon or something. And it turned up, and I was like, crikey, I'm surprised at how robust these are. I'm surprised that like, actually they feel really nice and they look really nice.
We get a lot of our stuff from eBay, but you know, I know Wish is getting more and more popular. I mean, I think you got to be careful what you buy, but what I've personally found is some of the products that you'll see on your household name sex toy websites, you can again get for a fraction of the cost on somewhere like eBay or Wish. But I guess it is just kind of knowing when it will be the same, literally the same item where you get it from, or whether it will be an inferior quality item. Sometimes like, it's hard to tell.
It really is, because a lot of these things look almost identical, like you were saying earlier about the one you have. There's other ones out there that look almost the same and you can't quite tell. It's the same as actually when I was hunting for this, the people listening won't see, but I've been fiddling, it's not been turned on because you'd have interference or something, but I've been fiddling around with this violet wand that we mentioned earlier. And this was the thing, because I asked you for advice about this, because I bought this violet wand that I'm holding, or this violet wand-esque style toy that I'm holding for my Belle as a Christmas present. And on the run-up to Christmas, I was asking you loads of questions, wasn't I? Cause I don't know, maybe I'm an idiot, but it was quite a daunting toy to buy, because it's like, yeah, buy a violet wand style toy or electroplay toy. I've never really been into electroplay. I didn't know what I was looking for or looking at, and I was just like, And actually, even with all your advice, in the end, I still bricked it, and she chose this one and told me just what to buy.
Well, for our listeners, sometimes people refer to these like violet wand type toys as neon wands, because they essentially work in a very similar way to a violet wand. It's just that the power intensity you can reach on them is that bit lower. I mean, I can't comment on exactly that difference because we don't have any experience with an actual violet wand, but I think there may be a little good little beginner one there, or if you like the lower end of your pain play.
Now this one here, right, on the box it says point the glass high frequency electrode on acne, enlarged pores, dark eye circle or some other skin problems and start treatment. I think this has been translated from another language, first of all, and not translated very smoothly with the grammar. Either that, it's just my reading, you can't really tell because I can't see the box. We say it's the translation.
So high frequency facial devices. So if any of our listeners are kind of looking into kind of getting into some electro play or kind of a violet one type toy, you will have luck looking online for something called a high frequency facial device.
What's quite nice about them is where they're that little bit lower in cost than going out and buying a violet one directly, you're able to try it at a bit of a lower cost, rather than say spending a couple of £100 on a violet wand and then getting it home and thinking, oh, actually, I'm not really liking this, you know.
This one was like 55 quidish, 50 quid, 55 quid, I think. And so there were ones I could see that were cheaper, but ultimately this was the one I was told to buy.
Tell of people paying a couple of hundred quid for some sort of vintage violet wand equipment and stuff. But again, as you say, they reach a higher power, and if it's not something that you're really interested in, or as Eeyore says, if you're perhaps of a lower pain threshold, you might not be wanting a really powerful one, you know. So something like that might be fine, and you've had to pay less for it, so that's okay. Whereas, say something like, again, to go back again to something where the higher cost is justified, if you're going to buy, say, rope, you know, because if some of the cheaper rope...
I got done on some rope recently, actually. I bought some rope from, I think, from an eBay seller. You know, it looked like it was from a proper bondage shop.
I think I remember you showing it to yourself.
Yeah, the stuff's turned up. I can probably sort it out a bit. I can probably give it a rub against itself with some friction, and then treat it with some coconut oil, and it will be a lot softer, and it'll be a bit better. I'm not going to be suspending anybody with it anyway, so that's okay. But, you know, it was, you know, but again, you know, I should have paid a lot more and got some rope locally, but I'm not that into my rope, so I was just a bit like,
But for those who are looking for some reputable rope, is it S&M, I believe?
Bare Bite Bondage is a good one. Yeah, so you get what you really get what you pay for with rope, is what I've learnt from that. But then, you know, not being so into rope bondage, and I'm never likely to be suspending anybody, I kind of, I wasn't too overly concerned, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know,
I think we've been fairly lucky with what we've bought. I can't think of any major purchases that have gone massively wrong. I mean, yeah, some of the stuff we've bought has been a bit cheap, and, you know, you kind of use it once and probably not really going to use it again, but for the price, it wasn't a massive issue.
So, Burns, before I put this away, would you like a tickle?
Oh, go on then.
Yeah?
Go
so, our listeners
I don't,
might
I don't normally really like this, but,
maybe
you know,
rev it up a bit for our listeners.
Oh, yeah, let's just see if the microphone picks this up, shall we? Let's see if this gets picked up. People are going to think we're near Chernobyl or something like that. Right, okay. So we've got this, and did you want a little tickle, Burns? I'll turn that right down for you, mate. There we go. What do you think of that? What do you think the sensation's like? I'll roll up my sleeve, right? I'm not in the slightest the bottom. I think the people in this room can probably testify that.
Just to clarify for our listeners, we are now having a little experiment with the neon wand.
I'm taking my jumper off, and my shirt's coming off, only because I can't get to my arm without doing it.
Excuses.
So I'm wearing the vest. Right, so if we're gonna do this, we may as well give the people something to listen to. So let's get an arm out. I only need one arm out. Right. Now, the reason I'm doing this to myself is that
all in the name of science. All in the name of science.
I say entertainment. Yeah, I don't think right, I would trust anybody to do this to me except me. I don't like that, I don't think. Oh, that's weird. It's like needles. It feels a bit like
Yeah, I think I would actually agree with you. I think it does feel quite like little needles jabbing into you.
Could I burn the hairs off my arm with this, or does it not go that powerful?
I don't think you could.
Is it dangerous? Are these dangerous? You know, this is the crack. If we're going to talk about this, we may as well talk about it in a sensible manner while I'm being an idiot. Are these dangerous? Can these be dangerous?
Well, I'm sure they can be. I mean, I don't know if I'm the right person to kind of go into detail on what the dangers are. But obviously, you are. I mean, that is hooked up your mains electricity. So, you
am
know,
I putting myself in danger right now?
Quite possibly.
I think one of the things as well to remember is that quite a lot of the stuff that we do on the BDSM scene, a lot of it is quite dangerous. Like you mentioned, rope suspension. That is dangerous. Various other rope stuff can be quite dangerous. You can get...
Well, we are experiments with fire play. Very
like
dangerous.
That.
You don't like that?
No, I don't like that. No, it's weird because after you've been done with it, it kind of jolts you a bit and you feel like, I don't know, it's like the energy's not quite dissipated from my system, you know?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, that's on full. That's on full whack now, though. That's on full whack. I can't have been too far off full. What was I doing before? I can't have been too far off full whack before, could it? Oh no, I'm not sure if I like that. That's not for me, really. But I didn't buy it for me, so that's okay. We'll put that down now, shall we? I'll pack that away and I'll put my shirt back on because it's the decent thing to do.
I mean, I think while we mentioned safety, I quite like that, well, that phrase, risk profile.
Yeah.
So I think really each one of us, you know, if you're engaging in kink activities, you need to, you know, think about what you're doing and the safety implications and what you're happy with, because obviously every person's going to have a different line of what they're kind of prepared to, you know, risk they're prepared to take. Because really, none of it's safe, really.
How would you define the word term risk profile? Would you say it's the individual person that you're playing with, risk profile that you're thinking about, the activity that you're doing, a mixture of the two?
Well,
or more?
I mean, how I've heard the phrase used, so how I understand it, is it does sum up an individual's kind of views on the various safety risks involved in the activities they want to partake in. So, you know, some people would maybe never do electro play because for them, they do not want to, the potential gains aren't worth the risk. So I think it is, or that's my interpretation anyway. Every person has their own set of criteria for what they're willing to do. And
I suppose with electro play, I suppose you'd want to consider something like medical conditions, wouldn't you? You'd potentially know what, if you had a medical condition, you'd probably already know what you should and shouldn't be doing about condition if you knew about an existing condition.
Generally, something like that would come under your pre-scene negotiation.
Yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you? You'd hope that it would be something that would be disclosed and spoken about, because, I mean, I wouldn't want to say, use my taser on somebody who had, like... I mean, I'm not just going to start using it on people willy-nilly. Although I kind of did New Year's Eve in the end, didn't I?
No, I think you got permission.
I was a bit dead. But yeah, so, I mean, when we think of... when I think of toys, I think of, like, packing my toys to go off to a hotel with my princess, or to go to a party, or to go to a dungeon event. We've got a local dungeon event coming up in a week from now. Yeah, a week from now. And, you know, I will once again be packing a bag to take for that evening, and always think, what toys am I taking? What toys are practical for a dungeon? What toys are impractical? I always pack my chain, and then I always pick my bag up and unpack the chain when I realise how heavy it is. You know, do I take all my canes? If so, I've got to take a long case as well as a bag. I mean, what you know, when we went off to that event in the summer, what made you decide what you did and didn't take?
Just what? Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't think we really took anything, do we?
No, I don't think. I think we took some rope and maybe some scratchy sensation toys, and I think that was about it.
And your beautiful naked body sitting beneath your clothes.
Yeah. Well, that goes without saying, I suppose. But I think the thing is, we've not done a lot of events where we've done any particularly public play. And so we've tended to not really think, oh, what are we going to take? Because normally it's, oh, what are we going to take? Well, we're not going to be playing, so we'll not take anything, you know. But occasionally there might have been other events, as we mentioned in episode 4.5, where it's perhaps at someone's place, and it's kind of bridging the gap. It's not quite public, but it's that bit more private than, say, a Munch. And so we might say, oh, well, we can take the candles, or we can take something else. I think we brought along a neon wand with a contact plate for a bit of a demo a while back. Is there anything else with
flash cotton?
I flash cotton.
That's always good fun.
Again, the kind of that little intro to fair play and a lot of the sensation stuff, so you can kind of experience some stuff, but you're not worrying about bringing fuel or there being big open flames. It's just a quick poof and
so
it's gone.
Just for the listeners, does someone want to sum up what flash cotton is?
I'd make a terrible job of it. I think you should.
So it's, without going into the technical details of what it's actually made of, it's commonly used by magicians. It's a kind of fluffy sort of material.
That, a bit cotton woolish almost.
Almost like cotton wool, but not quite. And you apply a light to it, or a spark, and it just goes up in a brief whoosh of flame and it's gone. So the flame disappears very quickly and it's just poof, gone.
Good way of getting rid of a bikini line, you know, the hair, the...
Well, the problem is it can singe.
It can singe.
And yeah, it's not going to smell very nice. Burnt hair does not smell good.
No.
Generally, you want to do it on an area that's not hairy, or an area that's been shaved or similar. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I've been there using it before, and we were using it on New Year's Eve as well. I think you were witness to that. That was some fun. Yeah, but it's toys is such a wide thing. We were looking recently, me and my princess. Do you know Bad Dragon?
Yes.
Yes, and that style of toy, and you know they can be really expensive as well. And you think the thing is, when I look at a toy like some sort of vibrator wand, or you know remote control something, I see where the money is in like high quality, good quality batteries, etc., etc. I see where that huge price tag is. When it comes to a dildo that's essentially rubber or some sort of solid composite of rubber or something or other, I struggle to see where the ridiculously high cost in that is.
Well, the silicone can... I mean, if it is made out of silicone, I think, you know, you can get different grades of silicone. And I guess for something like a Bad Dragon toy, I guess you're paying for, like, the creativity and, like, the uniqueness of it. I mean, you can't...
Yeah.
You know, you don't come across those sorts of toys quite regularly.
I think if you had one, you'd come across it really regularly.
But I think when you buy something particularly cheap and then you have it next to the higher quality, you can clearly see the difference. And if you're just, say, looking at a picture of it online, obviously you're not going to necessarily notice that from the static image. But if you have one in one hand and one in the other hand, you'll know what's the good one and what's the bad one, you know.
And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's experienced a, like, a kind of jelly material type toy just like melt. You kind of leave it in your drawer and you come back to it a couple and it just like melts and you can't let them touch, or they meld into each other.
I'm so sorry, right? So I was picturing, like, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's had one of those jelly toys melt. You leave it in your drawer, and I was like, oh, thank God for that. I was like, Jesus.
No, so this thing, cheap jelly toys, they have issues. And I mean, I don't think we want to go massively into it, but I mean, some people are quite concerned about chemicals leaching into the body from those sorts of toys, so...
Through their pleasure cavity.
Yes, through their pleasure cavities. Yes.
I've
sort of jock and naughty.
It is, isn't it?
Phrase like pleasure cavity. We'll get onto that later.
But I've got a glass dildo that I've had for years and years and years, and I remember it's not particularly big. If you have not seen it before, I'll show you later, guys. But it's, you know, it was about 40. It's quite small. It's about 45 quid or 50 quid or something, and you know, bear in mind I bought that well over 10 years ago, probably closer to 15 years ago. And it's, I mean, you know, it's been looked after, but it's still mint, and it's, you know, tempered glass, whatever the crap it's meant to be. You can heat it up and you can make it really cold, or you can make it really hot. Like, you can put it in like a saucepan of like hot water and heat it up so it's like nice and warm to the touch. And it's got like a big thick end on one of it, like a knobble that you can massage like backs with almost. It's this big heavy glass deal, but it's not big. It's small but chunky. Glass dildo that I've got.
Weighty.
It's weighty because it's like solid glass. I will get my glass cock out later.
And we'll all look forward to that one.
I'm sure you will.
He's always talking about getting his cock out.
My glass one. I'm like a Bond villain. I'm like a perverted Bond villain. I get my glass cock out.
The man with the golden cock. Do you imagine it?
No, the man with the Pyrex prick.
Oh, did he?
Oh no, I don't know if that's making the cut. Best to move on.
Made me laugh anyway, but there we go. Yeah,
the man with a Pyrex prick, oh dear.
It's dishwasher safe. But see, it's an interesting point actually, because some people would put some stuff like that in the dishwasher, or, you know, cleaning is quite an important factor with toys, you know. And that's the maintenance of your toys, you know, looking after them.
I mean,
make sure they are in good condition.
As soon as we'd finished playing with my girl's wand, I boxed it up, didn't I, and popped it down beside us. We'll have to probably cut that rustling out. You know, you've got to look after this stuff. Mind you, that said, I'm probably going to get a look in a minute, because I'm clean, but I'm not necessarily the tidiest. I'm getting a disapproving nod from the other side of the room, or a disapproving shake of the head. I'm not necessarily always the tidiest with my toys. My toy drawers are a mess at the moment. But all my impact stuff is really tidy. It's everything else that's gone to crap.
Well, that's one of the things that people don't really talk about much either. Storage.
Yeah, don't get me started on this. I love storage.
Okay, well, let's get you started on this. I mean, so you're a normal functioning human being with an adult job, with family, friends from outside the kink scene. Yeah, earlier on you confessed that you've been buying quite a lot of stuff recently, yeah?
Yep.
You guys cohabit, you live together, so you've probably got adult bits everywhere, or potentially that could be everywhere. How do you solve the problem of storing away all your toys? You know, do you in your wardrobes, under your bed? Or do you, like, run around just before your parents come? Do you run around, like, hiding everything?
You just leave it where people can see it. It's great for when the Jehovah's Witnesses come round. Invite them in for a coffee, just big dildo right on the table there.
Well, I think that is quite an interesting point about kind of where they go to maybe keep them out of sight. So I did used to have a lockable box, but at the moment we have moved everything into its own separate wardrobe. So it's not, there's no lock or anything, but I mean, if anybody's snooping around our place, I mean, if they open that wardrobe, they're just going to get an eye full of lots of various things. So yeah, that maybe not what you'd expect to see when you open up a wardrobe.
Yeah,
we call it the fun cupboard.
The kink cupboard.
Some disagreement on the name there, the fun cupboard or the kink cupboard?
No, it's the kink cupboard, but it was just making a joke.
But yeah, so it is, storage is an issue, because I mean, that set of stocks that you can see behind you is almost always out. And in fact, I had a contractor visit the house for some maintenance work not that long ago. And before they turned up, I just took the duvet off the bed, laid everything on the bed that didn't have a home, and put the duvet back on the bed. And just for as long as it doesn't come in here and sit on the bed for whatever reason, I'm all right. But
well, I was about to suggest you get it like hung up on the wall somehow, but that's probably not going to solve your problem with contractors coming
or
in.
Or family. No. I mean, I've got two drawers, a suitcase, and I think, you know, those artist's tubes that people put plans in and rolled up like artwork in. I've got one of those, and I think they're quite commonly used for sort of canes and long impact tools. I think we saw it somewhere else before mine was given to me as a present.
What I think is quite an interesting idea is, so obviously, you know, not wishing this to happen to anybody at all, but if you, you know, said you had an unfortunate accident, you had to go into hospital, someone was coming round your place, or, you know, when you're dead, what's going to happen to all those toys? Can you imagine, like, you know, your nearest and dearest coming round, cleaning up the house and, yeah, open the kink drove?
I have three people that are meant to come round and sort my crap out should I die. And I'm just basically hedging my bets, and but like, one of them does it and one of them follows through. So I've got three people that are meant to come round and like sort it out so that I don't get remembered as some sort of, I mean, I might go down in history.
I could just imagine the eulogy right now. He died doing what he loved, being a filthy bastard.
Oh, do you think I'm going to go like that?
I don't know. I just think it'd be a fitting tribute, you know?
Why, thank you. You can read it. You can do that.
Hello, Burns. Just turn up, you know.
I'm putting that on you now. I'm putting it on you right now.
I've known Hans a while, and he was a dirty, dirty bastard.
You've got to do it now, mate. Your name's down. It's on the list. The person that comes round here and cleans out all the adult material was also going to find a note saying, contact this man for my eulogy.
If I'm not available, they can just play back this section of the podcast.
Yes, you get what you pay for, but you all, in terms of sort of electric toys, in terms of stuff with batteries, you know, like good quality batteries, good quality build quality and powerful motors, you definitely get what you pay for. But I think you also have to be careful, because I think you can probably go to some websites that I think, like you were saying, like the mainstream ones, but also some sites where you look at it and you think, well, that's essentially a pair of fucking salad tongs, or that's essentially a pair of meat shredding tongs. Or that's a set of glow in the dark drumsticks, or whatever, you know what I mean, whatever they are. And you think, you know, that could be, you know, you can get that on Amazon, mate, exactly the same product without the markup.
We actually got some clothes pegs for pegging clothes, and a couple of weeks later they appeared on a site as a kink item, but as you can imagine, price quite inflated.
Yeah. So I think you get what you pay for, but at the same time, be savvy.
Yeah.
Be aware.
Yeah, definitely. But that's like everything in life. Do your research.
Yeah, yeah.
Shop around is good advice anyway. Even if you are going to be paying the premium, shop around.
Yeah, yeah, and definitely. And read reviews. Yeah. I would say read reviews, talk to people.
Be careful with some reviews, because some people on the internet are pricks.
Yeah.
And they will just post bad reviews, because it's like, oh, it came on a Wednesday, and I wanted it on Tuesday, 1 star. So, like, watch out for that kind of shite. But some people, like, if the complaints I'm making are reasonable, you know.
Mm-hmm. And if the things they're saying that are positive as well, if there's a lot of positive reviews, and they don't look like dodgy paid-for reviews with bot language, then, you know.
And this is where your local community comes in. Because, you know, if you speak to people, you know, it's generally the case that if someone has a toy you're interested in, you know, they'll kind of let you see it, you know, in real life. And that can just be helpful to see, you know, the size of it in real life, the weight of it. And obviously for someone who owns it, what they think the pros and cons are, would they recommend it?
Absolutely. Talk to people at your local Munch. Ask them where they got their stuff from. Do they recommend it? Did it turn up quickly? Did they have to wait a long time? All that kind of stuff that you wouldn't necessarily know just directly on the website.
But also, I suppose, you know, not everybody can or does do the social side of things. You can also probably ask on forums, on social media sites, adult social media sites like FetLife, and that you could go into an appropriate toy or play-based group and say, has anybody bought X, Y, and Z from this company? Are they any good? And you might get some honest feedback, you know. But yeah, I think that's about where we are with toys, isn't it?
It's certainly a subject we could revisit at a later date, you know. There's a lot that could be said, but I think that's quite a nice point to wrap up.
Yeah, we will come back and we'll probably go in deeper on sort of just electro play only toys, or once you guys have had a bit more fun with your fire play, that you could maybe come around here and do a live fire demo whilst we record. I don't know if that sounds safe or not. I can see yours frowning at me for a laugh there, but yeah.
You never know, maybe in the future.
Yeah, I think we'll see. But yeah, I mean, we'll probably talk about toys, and sooner or later, I know somebody who's bound to get a bad dragon sooner or later.
Well, I mean, perhaps one for a later show, but have you not started making your own?
Yeah, yeah.
We did mention that briefly, I think, on 4.5.
Yeah, yeah, we did. I've been making floggers now for maybe a couple of months. I've only made a couple to sell so far, mostly making them for myself and for the practice, but, you know, and that was because of, I bought some floggers, and some floggers are really expensive, and some of the best floggers I've got that I've bought aren't even that expensive, you know, so, and some of, you know, but then again, you know, you get what you pay, sometimes you get what you pay for with them as well, because when you get, like, the mass-produced ones, they're not balanced and weighted right, you know. I've got quite a few cheap ones as well that I've collected over the years. And, you know, floggers, cheap floggers, some of them are quite fun and the sensation's quite good, but the overall quality or the weighting isn't always there.
Though I will say this, I know someone who ordered a flogger from Daisy's Floggers, I believe it was, and it was exceptional quality and they were very happy with it. So if you're looking for something high-end, Daisy's Floggers.
Yeah, yeah, very good reputation, haven't they?
Very good reputation.
I've looked at their stuff, and, you know, I think anybody who creates anything, so if you're a singer, you listen to a lot of music, if you're, you know, if somebody who directs, looks at a lot of other directors, and since I've been trying to teach myself how to make floggers, I've looked to the brands that I admire and the brands that I respect.
Absolutely.
And looked at the quality of their products and gone, okay, you know, that's something I can respect, and that's something
to aspire to.
Indeed, something to work towards. God knows when I get there, but you know, it's you've got to look at your peers, haven't you? And
everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just wrap toys up there, and we'll come back with more electricity, more fire, and more dildos at another point. So I think it's about time we returned to the Encyclopedia of Unusual Sex Practices, don't you?
Absolutely.
If we're going to carry on where we left off in episode 4, that takes us to D. But we're on the fourth letter of the alphabet, because this segment came in on episode 2. Should we just crack on?
Aye, let's crack on.
So I thought we'd start with defilement.
Mm.
Yeah. What are you going to guess for the meaning of defilement according to the Encyclopedia of Unusual Sex Practices?
Something to do with violating.
Violating. Arousal from defilement. Sexual defilement involves polluting, destroying, or violating a fetish object, sex partner, or oneself. The stimulus is similar to a mother who sees her child track mud on her new carpet. However, in this case, the anxiety is transferred into sexual response. And this is like we were talking before briefly, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
About sometimes people get fetishes like that. The weird, I say weird, you shouldn't kink shame. Like the clown fetish.
Yeah.
And that starts off when someone's quite young and they're afraid of that thing. And that energy is like an anxiety. And sometimes during adolescence or at some point, that anxiety can somehow transfer into sexual arousal.
See.
I mean, I'm not an expert. I don't have any degrees in that area. It's something I've read a very small amount about and I've heard about. Yeah, so defilement. So it's someone who gets sexual gratification from seeing something, someone or themselves ruined.
Mm. I think it's probably quite a common one in you know,
yeah,
various degrees. Uh-huh.
Yeah, even seeing your partner, sort of people who get gratification from seeing their partner laying a mess at the end of a session.
Mm.
You know, seeing your partner defiled, maybe covered in sweat or spit or other bodily fluids, and looking down and getting that satisfaction from that.
Makes sense.
Is defilement, perhaps? Oh, but while we're on this, I think we kind of owe something on the subject of candelism, don't we? Do you remember we covered that one under C, and then we had somebody who listened to the podcast approach us at a munch. The definition as it is used, because language changes, doesn't it? Language shifts, language changes, words appropriate new meanings, and meaning shift. And what we were referring to, or what the Encyclopedia of Unusual Sex Practices was referring to, I think was more the origin of it as opposed to the modern use, you know, the modern vernacular.
Aye.
So when we read some of these, I mean, we've certainly looked at some of these and thought, hang about, that's not what we know it to be, haven't we?
Yeah, I would say so.
Dendrophilia. Dendrophilia refers to those aroused by trees. So quite literally, tree huggers.
See, the thing is, we saw a documentary, right, about, what was it, ecosexuals?
Yes, yes.
And that was very much their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, all kind of like getting up and intimate with the tree or the plant life.
Getting down and dirty. So, literally, down and dirty on the ground.
So trees were ancient symbols of fertility and men on certain holy days would go into fields and ejaculate onto trees. Thomas Gregor, an anthropologist, spent time with the Mahinhuku tribe of South America during 1960s and told one folk tale involving a man with a tree. Oh, here we go. I have been able to find only two other stories of masturbation, and in both, men are the principal actors. In one tale, we learn of a man who discovered a remarkably gratifying hole in a tree. This is turning into your section, which he began to use in the exclusion of his wife or girlfriends. In the second story, a man made an artificial vagina of leaves to which he became similarly attached. In both myths, the culprits were seen by other villagers who hacked away a hole with an axe and tore the leaf vagina to shreds. In both stories, the masturbators behaved as if their leafy companions had been real women and they wailed for the deceased plants. That is bizarre.
That is very, very strange.
I think we're going to stop that one there because that's just, it goes on.
I mean, again, I don't want to kink shame, but that is quite odd.
Should we just have one more on the subject and then I think we'll close the book until next episode? Dysmorphophilia. I'm saying that right, dysmorphophilia. Any guesses or would you rather not?
Because dysmorphia is when like you don't feel like yourself or something. I think I'm off base. No, I'm off base there.
Yeah, mildly not. Okay, so dysmorphophilia. I had to take a big breath before saying that. Dysmorphophilia, it's a hell of a word, refers to those who are sexually aroused by deformities in their partners. These may include such things as clubbed feet, scars, dwarfs, hunchbacks, etc. That's a bit. I mean, beauty is more than skin deep and all that, and you're attracted to people for who they are as a person, but to be attracted to people's disabilities. I don't think
it's kind of fetishizing people, isn't it? And I think some people would.
We all fetishize people, don't we, in some degree, in varying degree. No, I don't know.
But there's a difference between being attracted to someone and like objectifying them.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you on that.
And I think, you know, being all woke or whatever, I'm sure there'll be people rushing to criticise on that basis. But if you're attracted to someone not based on who they are as a person,
but based on my club foot
or any other particular attribute, is that really fair on them? You know, rather than loving them for who they are.
What about people that may have one of these physical, I mean, if I'm going to use the words of a book, it says abnormalities, but I wouldn't use that personally in everyday language. What if you're attracted to somebody who has a difference like that, but they're actually putting themselves out there like that, so they are working as a fetish model, or and they capitalise on that aspect of their appearance to be fetishised and glamorised?
Is that getting into their consent? So their consent to be fetishised in that way? I mean, I guess if someone enjoys, because, you know, there are people who enjoy being fetishised, so that to me sounds more.
And I think that's
positive.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Because as you say, the consent is much more explicit there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a really, really good time to end up, isn't it? Right, let's put that there. Okay, so that's thankfully the end of the Encyclopedia of Unusual Sex Practices for another episode. Thank God there's only about 20 more letters to go. Joy. I've started to half finish.
That's the one.
So it's that time again, Burns. What you got for us?
Right, so it's a return to the roots of Jock and Otty, as we mentioned on episode 4.5. We have another entry into the Bad Sex and Fiction Awards. This is from an angry author who has said that the Bad Sex Award is idiotic after he has been nominated for a scene where a food critic sucks brie off a wet nurse's nipple. So here we go. This is for The Last Banquet by Jonathan Grimwood. Reaching behind me, I found the brie and broke off a fragment, sucking her nipple through it. She tasted almost as she had the day I took the drop of milk on my finger. Marilyn smiled when she realised what I was doing. You know the peasant saying, if you can't imagine how neighbouring vineyards can produce such different wines, put one finger in your woman's quim and another up her arse, then taste both and stop asking stupid questions. My fingers found both vineyards. At the front, she tasted salt as anchovy and as delicious. At the rear, bitter like chocolate and smelling strangely of tobacco. So there you are. Another nominee for Bad Sex and Fiction Awards.
That's gonna stay with me forever. If you.
It kind of lingers, doesn't it?
like salt anchovy. Oh dear, have you got another one for us, Burns?
No, I've not got any other ones prepared, but there are going to be more. It was just because that one, where the guy had such a problem with it, was like, aye, this one needs to be aired, you know. But I'm gonna look into it and get some more for the next episode.
That guy's first problem with it is when he wrote it and published it.
It's amazing. Some of them have just been so good, like bad, but good.
I'm looking forward to more. So you're gonna have to have more ready for us for episode 6, mate, because I'll be looking forward to that one.
Okay. We'll end this with one I found. You get a wee bonus one, a brief extract for Catalina, a novel by James Frey. I'm hard and deep inside her, fucking her on the bathroom sink, her tight little black dress still on her thong on the floor, my pants at my knees, her eyes locked, her hearts and souls and bodies locked. Come inside me. Come inside me. Come inside me. Blinding, breathless, shaking, overwhelming, exploding, white god, I come inside her. My cock throbbing. We're both moaning. Eyes, hearts, souls, bodies, one. One. White. God. Come. 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 I close my eyes, let out my breath. Come. I lean against her, both breathing hard. I'm still inside her, smiling. She takes my hands, lifts them and places them around her body. She puts her arms around me. We stay still and breathe, hard inside her, tight and warm and wet around me. We breathe. She gently pushes me away. We look into each other's eyes. She smiles. And I feel we can end there.
That was magic. This has been Varying Degrees, episode 5. Thank you for joining us.